Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging.
So, as some of you may have heard or picked up if you hadn't during our time of worship, tonight is actually Mandy and I's last night with you as your youth pastors. And so, for us, this is something, and we'll get to this in a minute, that didn't happen overnight. But we don't want tonight to be a time of complete sadness. We want it to be a time of joy. We want to be a time of celebration of things that God has done through you guys. Things like the 350 guests that have came through these doors over the last 4 years. That's not Mandy and I, that's you guys. The things that, the DNA of this group, feeling like family, that's not Mandy and I, that's you guys. This is God's group. And so I just want to spend some time tonight just talking and encouraging you as to what lies ahead. And just trying to get you onto a place where you're looking at this not from a negative perspective, but from a positive, God-honoring perspective. So we say this around here and we mean it, Rage is a family. So tonight we're going to take the perspective on this of family time. And we're just going to have a family chat. We're just going to talk about a few things. This last week, when we say family at Rage, some of you have been with your families this last week, and you're like, I don't want a part of that. This place is like my family. We're not like that kind of family, okay? We are a family that loves each other. We're a family that's unified. We're a family that accepts. We are a family that challenges each other and helps each other pursue Christ at a deeper level. And so that's what we mean when we say family, when we have family time. And so I'm just pumped that you guys are packing in up here. And so what I want to do just as we go through tonight, I want to start off with some fun stuff. And so they're going to put my cell number up on the screens. And I want you guys to text in. Mandy's going to help me with this. She's got my phone. Text in your favorite memories from Rage. Maybe it's something crazy that happened on a missions trip, like getting stuck in an elevator. Maybe it's something totally different. Maybe it's an experience you had in a worship service or a winter camp. This is something that there's no right or wrong answer. It's just a celebration of different things that God has done. So my cell number is on the screen. Feel free to text that in. So we got one from Nashville already. Cooter! Cell block 6, Lido. So we're getting some of the missions trips things. Lido! Goody, goody, goody! Yeah. Here's a good one. When Mandy prayed for me at winter camp. Winter camp. We got a couple from Lido. Bueno, no bueno. Everything. Cheeseburger. Cheeseburger. Oh, that's awesome. Ooh, the ketchup challenge with DJ Callen and Rudy. This... Not everybody was here for this, but it was pretty epic. If you get on Facebook, I think, yeah, yours is up. It's on Instagram. These guys chugged Snapchat, so we're all over. Chugged, like, whole bottles of ketchup. It was the grossest thing I've seen in a while. The pancake challenge. When we won the dodgeball tournament at winter camp. Oh, that's awesome. Chick-fil-A. The drive down to Atlanta. And then they said the whole thing. Oh, and okay, at winter camp, sledding and my hoodie got ripped into a crop top. And then when I blew a car horn during a raid service, like wired it up. Okay, yeah, I remember that. That was fun. Cadre retreats, cadres representing. Winter camp games. Simon's stick. He had a stick at winter camp that was like his. And then it ended up in the toilet. DeFiesta. Pedro, when I hit someone in the eye with confetti. Special worship service that we did for leadership. Yeah, that was a good one. Youth convention. Poncho. Mark the monkey. Awesome. Well, cool, guys. What I wanna do is just these memories you have, whether they were serious, whether they were funny, they're your memories. Those don't change. The things that God has done in your life don't change. Those are things that he is rooted in, and those are things that remain. See, Mandy and I, we've had the honor to lead you for the last 4 years, but we're stewards. We're caretakers. And so for us, there's a lot of really good memories here. We love you guys. And for us, it's not an issue of love why we're leaving. It's an issue of obedience to the Lord. We want to be in His will. And for us, I believe that some of you have heard this, some of you haven't. You deserve to know how this process came to be. What happened is, in March of this year, Mandy and I, in our time of seeking the Lord, both had felt that something was shifting in regards to the duration of our calling here as youth pastors at First Assembly. The Lord didn't speak a next place to go. We didn't look for a position. We knew nothing about what was going on in Midland. We actually turned down 2 full-time, very good offers because we didn't have a peace of God. And so this began a few months of us just seeking what the Lord wanted. How much longer do you want us here? What do we need to do to finish strong? And what the Lord had said was finish the transition well. And then He also said, don't look for a position. Don't force doors open. I will bring you something. And so we just put on blinders and we focused on loving you guys. We focused on being the best youth pastors that we knew how to be. And so that was in March. In May of this year, Pastor Keith and Lacey had approached us and explained to us that the lead pastor at Christian Celebration Center of 31 years was retiring and announcing that in September. And for the last 4 years, they had been through basically a process of being considered as the next lead pastors for Christian Celebration Center. Now, Pastor Keith's been a youth pastor for almost 8 years, and he was asking us to pray for him. We're excited for them. I mean, they're our spiritual father and mother, and just really joy-filled about what God is doing in their lives. And at the end, they just asked us. They didn't offer us a position. They didn't say, come on up, nothing like that. All they said is, would you be open to praying about seeing if God is in this, of you and Mandy coming to potentially be our next youth pastors? We didn't seek the position. We didn't kick down doors. And we said, like any opportunity that comes, I believe you should pray about. I believe you should see if God's in it. And so we did that. And we did that for weeks of fasting and praying and seeking the Lord's face. And we felt at peace with moving forward. The Lord didn't say no. And He was saying, yeah, it would be okay to just open up talks with that. And Keith and Lacey felt at peace as well. And this began a 6-month interview process at 3 hours per interview. And now this isn't like, hey, what's your favorite color? You know, do you have a puppy or a kitty or no pets at all? These are intense spiritual questions to see where Mandy and I were at, to see if our heart lines with their heart, to see if God is in this. And after every 3-hour interview, we would stop and we would seek the Lord. Keith and Lacey would seek the Lord. And there was the understanding that at any point, either of us, if we felt God was not in this, we would just say, you know what? That's okay. God's got somebody else for it. That's fine. Every step along the way, the Lord brought confirmation. So Pastor Keith was nominated as the next lead pastor of Christian Celebration Center on November 13th. That was when we actually found out that we would be going to Midland. This decision was not something that Mandy and I had rushed. It wasn't an overnight thing that happened. This is months upon months of seeking the Lord, asking Him, what do you want to do with our lives? What do you want to do in Rage? What do you want to do in Midland? In seeing what He had for these groups. And for us, this is an issue of obedience. That's not an issue of love. If we could stay, we would. If we could take all of you with you, we would. The Lord, though, has called us to go to Midland. And with that calling to Midland, that also means He's calling someone to come here. He already knew all this was happening because He's orchestrating it. He's going to bring you quality pastors. I've had conversations with Pastor Joe. I've had conversations with Pastor Anthony. It's Pastor Anthony right back here. Everybody say, hey! The pastoral staff that is here is working diligently to find the next called person to this youth group. They're not looking for just somebody that will fill a role. They're looking for who's called.
That's the most important thing. Who is called? And so be patient with the process. Love on them. Encourage them. Pray for them because they're definitely going to need it. Pray that whoever the Lord has already picked to be your new youth pastors will sense that burden here, that it will just be so overwhelming that how could they not come? And so just remember, it's about calling. If God calls us out, it means he calls somebody in. And if some of you may remember this 4 years ago when we came, those of you that were here, there was people who were skeptical. They're like, the previous youth pastor was amazing, and he was. I know him personally. He's a great guy. And they said, I don't know about these people. They're kind of scary looking. They got tattoos. I'm just not sure about this. And nobody will ever replace Pastor Buzz. A new youth pastor isn't going to come in and say, I'm going to replace the previous. It was never our heart to replace Pastor Buzz. We wanted to honor him and build on the base he left, and he left us a great base. The next youth pastor that's going to come in is going to look at it the same way. He's not going to come and try to replace us. He's not going to try to steal your memories away or tell you that the things that God did in your life through ministry underneath Mandy and I is invalid or wrong. They're going to come in, and they're going to build on that base. And so just remember that. It's not about replacing. It's about who's called. And so tonight, I just want to give you guys some challenges as you go through your feelings, as you process this, and in the weeks and months to come, things that are going to help you as a group navigate a little bit of uncertainty with a lot of grace, with a lot of love, and with a peace. Peace is huge when it comes to seeking Jesus. And the first thing I want you to get is be rooted. Be rooted. I'm talking about spiritual here, okay? Your relationship with Jesus. Your walk with the Lord has to be your own. Do not neglect time in the Word, time in prayer, and spending time with each other. Iron sharpening iron, building one another up. Do not neglect that. Most of the things you experienced underneath Mandy and I weren't Mandy and I. It was Jesus simply using us, but it was because you were seeking the Lord yourself. I can't make you have relationship with God. That's a choice each of you has to individually make. And that choice is dependent on you and you alone. It can't be your parents. It can't be your youth pastors. It can't be your siblings or your cousins or anybody else. It has to be your own faith. So get rooted. Remember the things that happened at winter camp altars, the things that happened on missions trips or district youth convention, the challenge that you felt there, bonds that were built with each other, altars right here. Those things remain, and they're there because you sought Jesus. It's because of your relationship with him, so don't neglect the number one thing in your life of pursuing the Lord above all else. Make sure you are rooted in that. The next challenge I want to give you is to be servants. We are called to love God and to love people. I want you guys to passionately serve the next youth pastors, whoever they are and whenever they come. Respect them, support them, and love them. You may think, man, having new people in charge is a little scary. From the other end, it's a little scary. There's a lot of you guys. There's a lot of new faces. It's a whole new city with crazy roads and expressways everywhere that make no sense. Give them some grace, but serve them. Try to understand for them, they're probably just as scared as you are. But they're obedient to God's call by coming. Serve them. Serve them. Show them what rage looks like. Show them what family looks like. And this is important for you to remain a family. That doesn't change because Mandy and I won't be here because, once again, we're caretakers. We're just overseers. You guys are the church. You guys are Rage. This is God's group, and he has big, big things in plan for this. But right now, you need each other more than you ever have before because you need leadership to rise up. You need to keep those bonds tight together, and as the next youth pastors come in, serve them, but serve each other. Serve the church, and do it through loving each other. I want to challenge you to
be patient. Things aren't going to happen overnight. Just like Mandy and I didn't leave overnight, the next people aren't going to come overnight. It's going to be a little bit of a process. Be patient with the pastors. It's going to take them a little bit to learn your names. Give them some grace and just be patient with them. It's going to take them a little bit. They're not going to know what all the schools in the area are or what your favorite sports teams are. They're not going to know who your families are right away. But what they're going to know is they're called here. They're going to love you guys. And before you know it, you're going to be texting them and calling them. You're going to be meeting with them. You're going to be asking them life questions, going, how do I navigate this? Hey, pray for me. That's a good thing. Because it means you're building relationship. It means you're submitting under the next leadership that God has. But just know it's going to take a little bit of time. Know that they're leaving another city, most likely leaving another youth group, another student ministry that is going through the things that you're feeling right now. So just be patient with them. You know, the process might take a little bit of time. I can tell you it's not going to be as long as our lead pastor transition. It won't. Pastor Joe's prayer is to have somebody by mid-February. And now Mandy and I have been praying for our replacements for a little while now. We simply don't know what the time frame will be. Just being honest, we don't know. But we're not expecting it to take too long. But be patient. You know, in 3 weeks, if you're like, hey, do we have a youth pastor yet? They will tell you when they get one. They will. Trust me, it's going to be exciting news. And so if no news is basically good news, because it means they're looking. It means they're pursuing God's chosen. It means they are trying to find you the best people possible for this position. So just be patient. Be patient with each other. You might come in here and notice that the chairs are crooked. That's okay. You might come in here and it feels a little different, or it's a little warmer than Mandy and I kept it. That's fine. Be patient with each other. Offer grace and love and support to one another. Love each other like family. Be family. And the last one here I think is going to be a little harder for you right now, but as you process in the next days and weeks, I want to challenge you to be excited. Be excited. There's going to be a lot of awesome stuff that's going to happen in this youth group. The future of Rage is very bright. There's going to be changes because everybody leads different. That's okay. Embrace and support the changes because this youth group, Manny and I have been here over 4 years. It needs a fresh set of eyes and a fresh anointing to look at it and figure out what the best course of action for your spiritual development is. Be excited for the changes. Don't hold things as sacred. If you're like, we always put the ping pong table there, why has it moved? It's a ping pong table. You know what I mean? If they do worship at the end of service instead of the beginning, it's still worship. You see what I'm saying? Like, change is not a bad thing. Our church here has been very blessed because change hasn't necessarily been something we experience a lot. Pastors come here and they stay a while. Pastor Kurt was here 18 years. Pastor Buzz was here 16 years, the man that was before me. Mandy and I have been here just over 4. And 4 may not sound long when you're looking at that, but the average youth pastor stays 6 months to a year. The pastoral staff here does not want you to have another youth pastor for 6 months to a year. They want someone who will stay a long time. Pastor Anthony, you were here 9 years, and then now you're back. And so that's just a prime example. 9 years, 8 or 9, somewhere around there. I don't know his exact numbers, but my point being, this church has been blessed with having steady leadership. So what you're experiencing, it's going to be all right. But process your feelings and know it might take a little bit. Just be patient, but be excited. Be excited. Good things lie ahead. Be open to what the new youth pastors want to do. Submit under their leadership. Lift them up in prayer. Support them. It's okay for things to be different. All of us are individuals, but the things that won't change is the culture of the youth group. A youth pastor is going to come in here, and they're going to get a feel for what the group's like. And they're going to sense family. They're going to sense tight bonds, and they're going to learn how to minister to that. A youth pastor is not going to come in here and change the entire culture because you are the culture. They're not going to change you. They're going to learn how to minister to you, how to relate to you. They're going to learn how to take the culture here and expound on it. That's exciting. That's a huge thing when you can just begin to process it that way. And I believe they're going to see a healthy group. They're going to see a group that loves and supports each other. And they're going to see a group that is just radical in their faith for Jesus. They're going to see a group that loves missions. They're going to see a group that loves being together. And that's saying a lot in our day and age. People don't like to be together much. That's why we hide behind screens and social media. But you guys love to be together. They're going to see unity. They're going to see the love of Christ. And we know we love because he first loved us. They're going to see God's love reflected through you. As I start to wind down tonight, I want to share this passage of Scripture with you. If you're taking notes, if you're not, that's okay. But it's in 2 Kings 2, and it's the passage where Elijah is taken up to heaven. It's in verses 1 through 12. It says this, "When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel.' But Elisha said, 'As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you.' So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets at Bethel came out to Elijah and asked, 'Do you know the Lord's going to take your master from you today?' 'Yes, I know,' Elisha said, 'but do not speak of it.' Then Elisha said to him, 'Stay here, Elijah. The Lord has sent me to Jericho.' And he replied, 'As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you.' So they went to Jericho." What you're seeing in here is loyalty. Elijah is the master. Elisha is his successor, his replacement. And he's saying, "I'm by your side to the very end of this." So then goes on to say, "The company of prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, 'Do you know that the Lord's going to take your master from you today?' 'Yes, I know,' he replied, 'but don't speak of it.' Then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Jordan.' And he replied, 'As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you.' So the two of them walked on." You guys seen a pattern? All right. Verse 7, 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck it. And he struck the water, and the water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, 'Tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken to heaven?' 'Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit,' Elisha replied. 'If you have asked a difficult thing,' Elijah said, 'yet if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not.' As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, 'My father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel.' And Elijah saw him no more. And then he took hold of his own clothes and he tore them apart." So what you see here is the final moments of a mentorship together. Elijah is taken up as only one other person before him has ever been, a man named Enoch. Only two people to never have died in the history of this world. Taken up to heaven. What an incredible thing. But you see, a miracle happens right before he strikes the water. They cross on dry land. He prays over his successor and he says, "You know, I want what's best for you." It's basically what he's saying. And then when he's taken up, we see that his mentee, Elisha, tears his clothes, a sign of grieving. He's going through his feelings. He's mourning. And I can't see in my mind exactly what they would say, but I have to imagine what he was experiencing at this point, thinking, "What's next? What do I do? I feel like I've just been abandoned. I feel alone." You've got this whole company, 50 prophets together, looking at him going, "Well, you're the next guy. What's next? Is there still going to be miracles? Are you going to be able to cross the same river you just came across, or are you blocked off now? Who's going to lead?" But what I love about this is it's only halfway through what happened. And Rage right now is at a similar place. Mandy and I are being taken out of here, and for you, it feels uncertain. Who's going to lead? Who's going to step up? Who's going to replace them? Who will pick up the mantle of leading this group? It seems like a dark time. It seems alone. You might be scared. And those feelings are okay. In the dark, it's intimidating. It feels like you're isolated. And I want to encourage you tonight. I love football. So whenever I can just work that in there, you see on here, the text tonight is the time has come. In football, to get to the field, you have to walk through the tunnel. It's not the glamorous part of the game. It's dark, usually poorly lit, smells bad, a little bit cold. And as you're going through there, it's not the exciting portion. You can feel like you're alone in there in the dark. But no, in the tunnel, you're together with your team. You're with family. Because you're in the tunnel doesn't mean that the game is over. And rage, because we're leaving, doesn't mean that rage is done. What this is rage is at halftime. You're going through the tunnel. You're going to have a short intermission, and then you're going to go back out into the second half of the game. And I want you to know the best football is always played in the second half. It always is. If I miss the first half of a football game, I'm fine. But if I miss the second half, I've missed all the important stuff. And so I want to encourage you, you're in the tunnel with your team. It may feel dark and alone, but you're not. You're heading on to exciting things. There's a whole second half to play. There's a coach waiting for you right out there saying, I'm going to lead you onto the field, and we're going to win at this thing. And so the best is yet to come for Rage. The team is with you, and the tunnel leads to an opportunity for greater. It's not hopeless. Greater things lie ahead. And a youth pastor is going to come in here and do far more than Mandy and I could have ever have dreamed for this group, because they are the Lord's anointed to lead this. Because the favor of God will be resting on their lives. They will pick up the mantle and move forward. Continuing in our verse 13 through 15 in 2 Kings chapter 2. It says that Elijah picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah, and he went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. And when he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha. And they went and met him, and they bowed at the ground before him. When halftime ended for Elisha, he didn't just do nothing. He picked up the mantle, and he walked out, struck the water, and realized God's still here. There's still power. There's still miracles happening. And that's exactly what's going to happen in Rage. You're going to see the presence of God will still be in this place. But the most important thing is Elisha didn't hide during halftime. He picked up the mantle. Will you rise up to what lies ahead? What mantle in this room do you need to pick up? Maybe it's being what Mandy and I were to you, to somebody else. Maybe it's spending more time in prayer for this group. Maybe it's being the one to institute that feel of family. Maybe it's the one encouraging when people feel down, being like, it's okay, it's halftime. The best is yet to come. What mantle will you pick up tonight? And I want to close with this. You are Rage. You are Rage. And each of you compose the group. It's up to you what this group feels like. Will you keep it a family? Will you keep it tight-knit? Will you support the next leadership that comes in? The time has come for Rage to raise to the next level, to kick it up a notch, to get rooted deeper in its pursuit of Jesus, to do more amazing things than has ever happened, to see miracles abound, to be reaching your schools, reaching the lost in the communities around you. The time has come. I encourage you to go into the next half, the best half of the game, with intensity. Go in with passion. Go in with love and unity. Go in with an expectation that God is going to do far greater things. Do not back off now.
teams lose games because they back off after halftime because they feel tired. Maybe somebody got hurt along the way. Your team, support each other. Go forward knowing the game's not over. Give it everything you have because the best is yet to come. I mean that.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.